If you don't know what to do, look at other people. Surround yourself with good design, good designers. Make a mood board. Fill it up with stuff that you like, that you think that that's good, that that is good design. And then help let that inspire you. And just like I do with my students, I tell them, copy it, copy exactly what you see, and then modify it, make it your own, right? So start by practicing what you see and then change it up to make it your own.
Welcome to Earning by Design, a podcast dedicated to guiding graphic designers and creative freelancers towards building successful businesses from their passions. I'm your host, Lauren Gonzalez, with over 14 years in the design industry, including both in-house corporate and freelance design roles. I'm here to share insights and strategies to help you thrive in your design business. My journey was not without its challenges, including finding well-paying clients and struggling and managing an overwhelming workload for minimal return. But through perseverance and strategic planning, I was able to transform those obstacles into a six-figure design business that allows me to work from home, set my own hours, and select projects that truly resonate with me. So whether you're embarking on your design career or you're already an experienced designer, Earning by Design is your companion to help you stay competitive in the fast-paced world of graphic design. Welcome back to Earning by Design podcast. Today, I'm very excited with our guest. His name is David Block, and he is a seasoned designer with 30 plus years of practical experience in just about every aspect of the graphic design industry, including print, web, mobile, and video. And in 2015, he transitioned into the education industry as a teacher with North Orange County ROP. And he is the founder of a really cool organization called Design Rescue, which we're going to be talking about today. So thank you so much, David, for being here. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. So I'm curious, what inspired you to start Design Rescue? Because, and I'd love to hear a background of what it is so everyone can understand, and we'll obviously link to it in the show notes. But this is such a, it's an amazing program that I wish I had in high school to help the next generation of designers. And it's amazing that you do that on top of what the teaching and the actual instructing that you do. So I would love to hear what inspired that and a bit more about it.
Sure. So, So Design Rescue started about a year or two after I started teaching. I've been a designer, as you said, for a long time, and I started teaching just about 8 years ago. And the classes that I had were just, you know, normal classes. I was just giving assignments. But I built we have a pathway here. It's part of an academy at the high school. So there, if they take my graphic design pathway, they have, they're with me for 3 to 4 years. So at the very last year, I thought, after all that time, they know Illustrator, they know Photoshop, InDesign. Why not just get them real clients? And so I started the very first year I did it, I pulled in a couple of clients, and it worked really, really well. So the following year, I kicked it off. We had about 30 clients in that year. And we only had, I think we had 15 students or 18 students in that class. So several of the, a lot of the students got double, you know, work with multiple clients. And that's pretty much how it started. It was really, I wanted to create a portfolio preparation class, and it turned into an actual studio. And, you know, it was kind of an opportunity to get students to really experience, like, you know, real life situations and practice business acumen and their soft skills about how to deal with clients and, you know, what happens when you have clients that don't respond to you, or, you know, how do you sell your work? How do you talk about your work? That sort of thing. And that's really what we go over in the Design Rescue program.
Gosh, I admire that immensely. I mean, the first probably year and a half was just a massive struggle for me on all those different skills. And when you don't have to then yet be depending or counting about the money aspect of it, and you can just focus on all the other points, I think that's such a beautiful safe space that you've given to these students. So, and how do you see that as bridging the gap between the education that you've taught them for those previous 3 years to then the practical work experience that they receive?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, first of all, just like you said, I didn't have this when I was in high school. I didn't have anything like this. There was nothing that connected us to the real world at all. So just the opportunity for them to be able to meet with and talk to actual business owners has been amazing. I mean, put the work aside, just the relationship that they've been able to create. And the guidance that I wasn't expecting. They come in here and we get, you know, advice and all kinds of, it's really been an amazing experience. But to bridge that gap between the educational part and the practical work experience. So I wanted to kind of prove that high school students are not too young to take on these kinds of responsibilities. And that's really where it comes in, is where when they enter my classroom, they just came in from a day of normal high school where they get the same old stuff. We don't normally get the adult level responsibilities, so to speak. You know what I mean? But, and in this class, I am just a coach. Everything is on them. And so, that's really where it bridges the gap and kind of brings in the educational piece with the real practical piece.
Beautiful.
And then, one other thing. So also as a result of the portfolio that they build here, they can actually just go right out during high school or after high school and get a job as a graphic designer or get into an art school. And I've had that happen with several of my students. In fact, last year I had a student who was going to, he got his AA degree in graphic design by going to night classes as he was inspired, you know, by taking my classes. And so he just pushed forward. That's unusual, but it happened.
Oh, that must be so rewarding to see that in the real world. You know, they go and that becomes their career.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I know.
Totally.
Yeah. It's like your babies have flown. And so when you're doing this, the design rescue, when you're promoting that, how do these clients find out about the program? And because this is, they get free design work. That's how they learn, right? That's the experience. So do they find you through SEO, through your website or through the YouTube channel, or what way do they find out about it?
I'll be honest, it is all social all the time. I am on everything, just promoting the heck out of Design Rescue and specifically LinkedIn and Facebook. But I'll be quite honest, Facebook groups have been the most, I've gotten the most response out of those groups. You know, the buzz groups, the community groups and things like that. So, for instance, I'm in the Orange County buzz group and there are, I think, over 20,000 people. And I just post, I start something fun like, hey, your neighborhood, your friendly neighborhood graphic design teacher here, you know, got this fun thing for you to do. So it's basically kind of have fun with it. And I make connections throughout the summer to bring in the group of clients that they'll have throughout the year. But it is all Facebook pretty much. I've had some couple here and there go through our website, but basically social.
Great. Great. Yeah. And are they usually branding projects? Or are they also like marketing assets and other elements, digital design?
Great question. You know, actually, it started out as a wide mix of things. I don't know why, though, over the past 2 years, 3 years, it's been mostly logos. This year, 90% of what we received started out as logos. And I got about half the year through, or about, I would say about 2 or 3 months ago, I realized what was happening. And I told my students to enhance their project. So when you get into a conversation with them, now let's build it out. You're going to need a business card. You don't just need a logo. You also need this. So we try to, you know, enhance the projects a bit. But yeah, they do start out as branding projects. But I do on that, you know, on that front, we do have other kinds of projects that come through. We do let me say it a different way. We do a couple of projects that have 60-page documents, you know, like programs for events that are going on, or, you know, that sort of thing. So we do have the typesetting projects that can be a little bit boring and long, but, you know, they do come in.
Good. Well, it's good to get that experience on different types, because, you know, it's not always the beautiful projects that we get as designers anyway. So that's nice to have that mix of a variety.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then, so do they, when they're working with clients, do they go through the whole process, like the onboarding? And I've seen in your videos that it's actually, they meet with them in person. Is that every time, or is it done on the phone and through email?
That's my preference. I would love for people to meet in person, but we do have a lot of people that, not a lot, I would say a few, that still do Zoom, you know, meetings. Sure. We've actually done one just by phone, but for those initial consultations, we really need that face to face, and I want them to get that experience. So yeah, that's what I push for. Yeah.
I love that you do that, because for me, when I was just starting in, I mean, when I was working in house, obviously it was face to face, but when I was just starting freelancing, it was like I hid behind my email, and that's what was the comfort for me. So, but I think if they're coming from a place where they're having to deal in person with clients and they're having to experience that and, you know, get through all the shyness, I really can't stress enough how much that must, that experience I feel I missed. So I really admire that you have that for them to do.
You know what's interesting? I don't think that they know. There are some students that don't know that they have that fear of speaking with, you know, people. And I don't think they're aware of it yet, because they haven't been put into those kinds of situations. And so a lot of my students perform a lot better than they expect. Because when you get face to face, you know, you're sitting with them, it's like you're talking to a friend almost. It becomes kind of a chat, you know, not just a business thing. So it's been an interesting experience for sure to watch them kind of grow in that way. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I love this. And so have you had any specific, you mentioned one of those, maybe you can elaborate more on a success story with the Design Rescue Program, how it's really impacted their career trajectory in going to where they want.
Absolutely. I've been thinking about that. I've got one student that I have a couple of different success stories. Let me start with the first one. When I started teaching in 2015, I had a student who was with me for 3 years, and then she graduated in 2018. And when she went to Chapman University, she got herself a job as a graphic designer there on campus while going to get her degree in graphic design. So that was the first kind of success story. I wasn't able to keep track of where she went after that, but that was as far as I went with that student. Another student, though, who graduated just last year, during the school year, he took on a project in Design Rescue for his father, to be quite honest. But his father, I think he worked for a fire department under the TEMS team, which is the Tactical Emergency Medical Support team, and they wanted a new patch. He got to design that patch, came out super professional, looks so good. And when he graduated, he actually came back this year, and he said that he's gotten requests from other fire departments asking for patches. So he's starting a little business doing patches. So he came back in and asked for advice. You know, how do I deal with this? What do I price it at? And all of that stuff. So, and he's still going to college. So all of that, you know, before even having his degree.
That's beautiful. Wow. Yeah. Now that's such a fun point, and how he can be making an income, and you allowed the space for him to not have to deal with the pricing side of it. So now and that's what I think is cool, is that like they're able to take things on in increments and not have, because we get bombarded when you're starting a business, you get bombarded with all these different tasks all at once. So this is a really nice way of easing into that. And
exactly.
And what do you find is the benefit? There's obviously a lot of online courses, and I teach online courses, and I've taken online courses. But what do you find are the benefits of in-person design instruction?
Listening to a podcast is fantastic, but sometimes we need a more straightforward way to access information. That's exactly why I've put together some free downloadable resources for you, including a free pricing guide with a free pricing list, how to get clients guide, and how to manage your time better. These are packed with quick reference information and actionable steps that you can start using right away to enhance your own design business skills. Make sure to visit forthecreatives.com and get your free copies today.
That's a really great question. And I'll tell you, you know, during the lockdown, during the pandemic, we really, really saw this really highlighted the benefits of in-person. And I'll be totally honest with you, that destroyed us during that 2020. But when we came back, everybody was so excited to be in person. And I really doubled down on, you know, the way that I teach in person. And what I mean by that is normally, okay, so the benefits of being in person, obviously, it's that over the shoulder help, right? Getting to watch students actually do the work, watch them make mistakes, show them right there in front of them how to make it right, and then watch them do it the right way. That's really the benefit to it. And I think, you know, now that I think back, I think before 2020, I wasn't really, I kind of wandered the room. I didn't put that much focus on the over the shoulder help. Over the past couple of years, though, it's been really, really valuable to jump in there, take their mouse away from them, show them exactly what to do, and then watch them actually do it.
Oh, yeah, that makes total sense. I can see that as a benefit. And even, I mean, as much as you can do online, is, and you probably experienced this, doing the critiques, you know, writing the notes on the work and everything, that I try and do that as you know, as best as I can. But I remember that in person, and even working in house or under a creative director, it's really invaluable. So great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so now with the whole Design Rescue program, looking forward, how do you see this evolving to further support students and the community over time? Or do you ever see it expanding to other schools or other areas that you can kind of maybe oversee? Or I'm curious what your thoughts are, because it's such a successful concept, and I just don't see that everywhere.
Yeah, I actually gave a talk at the last CTE conference. CTE is Career Technical Education, and I gave a talk about my Design Rescue program. And after that time, I had several people that were interested in bringing Design Rescue to their school. So that would be one of the next steps, would be to extend the Design Rescue program to other schools. Absolutely. I've already written kind of directions for how to manage the program and how to onboard, you know, onboarding for clients and how to deal with every aspect of it. So I've got that ready to go for schools, and I'm actually starting to reach out to them. I think 2 weeks ago, I had somebody come from another school to observe. So that's already starting to happen. Also, I want to collaborate with business and create more of an internship kind of a program. Right now, it is set up as a work-based learning situation. It's a service learning is what it is, really. And what that entails is basically having students do the work in a classroom situation supervised by a teacher, but doing work for clients. And so that's work-based learning. In internship, obviously, would be, you know, they spend time there at the office. They get a desk to sit at and actually do the work. That would be wonderful. We actually, I'm not a district teacher. I work for North Orange County ROP, and we actually have something called CPI, Career Pathway Internship. That's what it is. And where we do this, and it's, you know, kids can take advantage of this, but I want to build it more into my program. It hasn't reached us just yet. Oh. Those are the two things. Yeah. Two areas I'd like to extend into.
That's a great concept. Yeah. And the internships are usually either very low pay or free anyway, and but it's a great experience. So it makes sense. I mean, it would only benefit the companies that are around that area.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting to be in the office environment, and that's where the soft skills, you know, really hit the road, and
yes.
you know, really, really test themselves on how they deal with people. I think that's most important. Other than the design skills, I think that is actually most important to learn those soft skills.
I totally agree. And
Yeah.
It can be very scary to be in an office environment where there's not a lot of creatives around you,
Right.
and you're having to make those creative decisions yourself and do those points. So I think an agency is obviously a different circumstance because you're under a creative director, but sometimes in an in-house role, you're one of the only creatives. So that's definitely would be an amazing experience for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. So what advice do you have to those that are new to the graphic design industry these days? There's a lot of stuff going on out there and, you know, AI and such, but just overall, because you've had such an extensive experience in the industry, what advice do you have for those new?
So the advice that I give to my graduating seniors, a couple of different things that I've thought of, that I talk about with them. Number one, look for opportunities to work on teams. It's great to have, you know, a freelance business, but it actually is better to get experience working and seeing how other people in different disciplines do their work, so that you have that, you can at least get that experience and see what they do. For instance, I was a senior designer at Experian, and every single project we get together with a copywriter, the project manager, you know, the client, whatever, you know, all the account managers, you know, the development team, and everybody, and we get to see how they do their work, and we get to focus on just our, you know, design work. I get to design, just focus on my design work. So I really think that working on a team is beneficial before jumping into a freelance situation. And then another piece of advice I would give, you know, the creative blocks actually happen. And side note, I wish the word block had a positive connotation to it. It is what it is. But and everybody gets them. So creative blocks actually happen. And when they do, this was a big thing for me. When I was in college, I struggled. I didn't know, you know, what happens if you got a blank, you're blank. You got a blank sheet in your head. What do I do? And my teachers didn't really have a good answer. So I came up with the answer, which is just to surround yourself with good design. That is the answer. If you don't know what to do, look at other people. Surround yourself with good design, good designers. Make a mood board. Fill it up with stuff that you like, that you think that's good, that is good design. And then help let that inspire you. And just like I do with my students, I tell them, copy exactly what you see, and then modify it, make it your own, right? So start by practicing what you see and then change it up to make it your own. So that's the second piece. You know, I think creative blocks actually happen, but just surround yourself with good design.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's something that can never get enough of. Are you a fan of having your students take a break from the computer sometimes and just look at books or go out on a walk or anything?
You know, every now and then, I do like, well, unfortunately, we only have like 45 minutes or 50 minutes to focus on. So when they come into the class, like, okay, let's spend every minute working. But there are times when I actually start the class with a fun video. I've started class with your videos, in fact.
Oh.
Yeah, just as an example. Yeah, I mean, we don't really go out and take walks. We should. That would actually be a great idea. But yeah, I mean, every now and then we start the class with something fun to loosen them up a little bit, and then we get right into work.
Great. Totally. Awesome. And then what advice do you have to those who have been in the industry for a while or are maybe struggling with do they want to continue or they're set, but they you know, they're maybe concerned about the future of graphic design. Do you have any words of wisdom on that for those guys?
Sure. So people that are have been in the industry or that are seasoned designers, I think look for opportunities to kind of give back. One thing that I do talk about with my students, and I it's so true, is that when you can show somebody how to do something and actually watch them do it without your help, that means that you've mastered that thing. And I talk about that all the time. So I try to get my students to help each other in that way. And it is actually pretty awesome to watch them turn, show them how to do it, sit back, and they actually, do it. It's really, really great to see that. So what I recommend for those that are seasoned designers is look for opportunities to show your mastery of your skills. Mentor somebody, bring in interns, or at the very least, go to a website like, I don't know, wiseant.com or someplace like that where you can actually become a tutor and help others. I think that's really the best way to sort of demonstrate your mastery of your skills and giving back to the community. I think that's super important, giving back to the community.
That's
if
beautiful.
if I could also add one more,
Please.
keep challenging yourself. There's one thing that I struggle with, and in that dreaded downtime between clients, or let's say I've got a lot of projects and they're all kind of the same sort of type of project. Challenge yourself, do something that's outside your comfort zone. Learn a new skill. I picked up the bass. I learned how to play the bass about 2 years ago. Not that I can use it in my design. Who knows? Maybe I can. But enhance yourself in between projects. Just challenge yourself.
Love that. Absolutely. Well, it's really I've really been inspired by what you've said, and I think that it's something that I wish that you could duplicate yourself all over the world, or all, and really have this, because if every designer or budding artist had someone like you there, it would be a much different place when people go out into the world and career. So I really appreciate what you're doing, David. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah. And also, what would you say would be the best place for people to connect with you, find out more? I would love for you to say, we'll obviously link in the show notes, but I know I'll let you say the names of everything that you would prefer them to go to.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. So, first, you can take a look at the EDHS designrescue.com. That's the design rescue program that I run with the kids. And then there's my podcast, which is kind of born out of the design rescue program. It's called the Design Rescue Show on YouTube. Just search it out. You'll find the Design Rescue Show. If you'd like to look at my own personal portfolio, just go to davidblock.net.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much again, David, and I will see you later. And also, please make sure everyone go check out his YouTube channel and his what they're doing. There's also have some really cool videos, which I'll link in the show notes, that goes over the actual students in action, which I love. So awesome. Thanks, everyone, and have a really good rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Earning by Design. If you found value today, I would be incredibly grateful if you could leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback not only helps this podcast to grow, but it also helps to get in front of more designers who need help too. So thank you sincerely for being here. And for more resources to help you succeed in the world of design, please visit forthecreatives.com. That's the number four, thecreatives.com. We offer a variety of courses, programs, and free resources, all tailored to enhance your design skills and your business knowledge. Also, be sure to follow me on Instagram at forthecreatives for more updates and tips. And if you haven't already, join my growing community of over 100,000 subscribers on the For the Creatives YouTube channel that has more content, all designed to fuel your creativity and your professional growth. Until next time, keep creating, keep exploring, and continue to push the boundaries of your own creative journey. I'll be here to guide and inspire you every step of the way.